Reichman University.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jana Hoffman and Amanda Jakubowicz.
Welcome to De-influenced, a show that explores the world behind the camera, the influencers who can affect our lives, and the world in which they live. My name is Jana Hoffman, and with me as always is Amanda Jakubowicz, and today we're joined by the Bear Jew himself, author of Hate 2.0, Man's Journey to Becoming Tough, Aaron Hadida. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure to have you here.
We're so excited to get this interview started and to have you here. And so the general thesis of our podcast, as we explain in every episode, is that De-Influenced is about traversing the activism sphere with the Zionist community and the post-October 7th Jewish community. And part of that is understanding how to mitigate the obstacles that we have been convinced are stopping us from being effective advocates. So I'm really excited for the conversation today. And we're really excited because it'll direct us towards finding a balance between being loud and proud on the streets and online while still being safe and smart. So just to hop right into it, you are known as the Bear Jew. So where did this name come from? What does it mean?
It basically, it came years ago when the movie, came out, Inglourious, Bastards came out. Quentin Tarantino's movie. And there was, a character called the Bear Jew who they always called in when they needed something dealt with. I've sort of been that guy my whole life, that the Jewish community calls in when they need something addressed. And so it just stuck. And it stuck throughout. I was in the motorcycle community for many years. I was the president of a motorcycle club. On my vest was always the name of the Bear Jew, and it stuck throughout my activism and throughout my life. It's been there for decades.
Yeah,
for sure. And when you wrote your book Hate 2.0, why did you call it Hate 2.0?
I believe that it gives us an insight of what it is to be a Jew in this world, to face the hatred and basically how to address it, how to be an activist in a safe, positive way. And I just feel like everywhere we go, whether whether it's silent, there's hatred all around us. And I mean, listen, I've been blessed with respect to, not being subject to anti-Semitism on a big level because I guess of who I am or what I'm capable of or whatever you want to call it. I get the online stuff for sure. We receive a lot of messages every day. My publicist usually will shelter me from a lot of it. She will sort of, pick and choose what I see and what I don't see. I guess it's just, it's just her job to make sure that I'm not seeing silly things that just don't mean anything. Obviously, if it's a real threat, then I need to see it and I need to address it and work with the law enforcement communities to ensure that it's been addressed. But otherwise, it's just, day-to-day business. It's just, we just keep going on. And being in the platform that I'm in, attack on various levels. And I can get into that as simply as saying, every aspect of my life gets attacked. I'm the national director for an organization called Herut Canada. I'm the head of security for World Herut. And I'm also the president of the charity that Herut Canada has. So the latest attack was a Muslim reporter has posted a website. She has been encouraging people to report our charity, stating that I'm a vigilante, I'm a racist, Islamophobic, There is not a shred of evidence you can find anywhere on this earth to substantiate any of those claims. And I mean like zero. Yet the CRA, our version of the IRS in Canada, they determined that, you know, I should be audited, that our charity should be audited. And we have done nothing wrong. We barely use the charity, but it's costing us a fortune to defend this action now. This is just like one of the small ways that they try to get at us. You know, for me, it's about Jewish resilience, regardless of what they throw at you. Doesn't matter what they do, what they come with. You just keep going. So the attitude is really simple. If they, by some miracle, manage to be successful, then okay, you move on. You know, you regroup and you go on again, and you just keep moving your feet forward so that we can move that ball forward for our community. So, I mean, I don't get down on it. I don't look at it and say, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe this. I just move forward. Tomorrow's another day and I'll deal with it. And yesterday was yesterday. And that's the only way we're gonna beat this. It's the only way. You can't look at all of this hatred day after day after day. And I mean, I'm in the middle of it all. Like, I'm on the forefront of it all. And so, like, there's no turning it off for me. Take a break from it. And so if I didn't deal with it the way I do, then I'd be lost. And I've been doing this for over, you know, two and a half decades. Yeah.
And, you know, like you were saying how they'll just try to get at you from every angle. And there's that famous saying of like, the anti-Semite tells a Jew that, oh, you stole money from me, not because he thinks that the Jew stole money from him, but because he wants the Jew to open his pockets and have to prove himself. And that's something that we're dealing with a lot in recent times.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing to us. They just want to, you know, it's sort of like, okay, you know, you're in life, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And in our world, we're guilty until proven innocent. And that goes with Israel, that goes with our IDF soldiers, that's everything and everybody. We're always guilty on the public stage until we prove otherwise. And I have no problem with it per se, and, you know, because it just ignites that fire every single day. And every morning when I wake up, I think, okay, you know, it's going to be a lax day. There's not a lot of stuff going on. Always wrong. I'm proven wrong every single morning when my eyes open. There's hundreds of things to deal with, and hundreds of institutions that we have to protect, and communities and neighborhoods. And I mean, the stuff that we do, I can elaborate on, but it's pretty extensive. All, you know, within the realm of protecting the Jewish community. And that includes students on campus in a very, very big way.
You know, you and I were talking before the show about sort of synagogue security and doing security in Jewish communities. And I mentioned how, like, my father's in charge of synagogue security. And that's partially because nobody else is really stepping up to do it, because nobody else is really taking initiative. And you've spoken in the past about how people need to just stop, you know, yapping and talking about anti-Semitism and actually put some money where their mouth is and do something about it, actually push back, whether it's making content online or helping out with security for events or something like that. What does that actually look like to you? Because I listed a few examples here. What does actually putting your money where your mouth is in terms of fighting anti-Semitism look like in your opinion?
Everybody can do it. Everybody. And I mean everybody. And there's various ways to do it, whether it's joining a Jewish organization and helping them with their platforms and their mission, you know, providing that they're legitimate and they're getting stuff done. I don't mean legitimate in terms of, you know, are they real or not, but in terms of, are they getting work done? Are they being effective? I think the biggest thing that I always run into with people is lack of knowledge, lack of education, lack of historical facts. If you want to be effective, you need to know what you're talking about. You really need to know what you're talking about. You know, when somebody, you know, uses the POW word to me, talking about, you know, the only Palestinians that ever exist were Jews. So I don't understand what you're actually talking about. You know, they identify as Palestinians. Well, to me, they're identifying as Jews then. Like, okay. But it's all about fact. It's all about learning. And there's so many amazing organizations in this world. I'm on the advisory committee of something called Taking Back the Narrative in the States. And the head of it is such an amazing person that is so knowledgeable. And she runs these Zionism courses. And it's like, I believe, a 6-part series. And after the 6 parts that you take online, you're basically a pro. You're a historical pro, and you know how to argue the facts. And I think that's the biggest thing, is re-educating people. And I know it seems very daunting because, you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of people that are being, that have been indoctrinated, or they're just sort of following the horde. They don't really want to think for themselves, so they throw on a keffiyeh and just say free whatever, and, you know, get some TikTok followers. You know, for me, it's one mind at a time. Have to break it down and really go slow. It's the same way we train people. You know, I'm not looking to train the whole world at one time. Train one person at a time. And in doing that, you know, that person may go out and empower or train somebody else, or encourage them to train, and learn. It's about being strong, you know, and this is the premise to my book. Being a tough Jew doesn't necessarily mean physically tough. That's one aspect of it. But mentally tough, spiritually tough, connecting with your community. You know, we all pass by, you know, people during our high holidays, during Passover, during Yom Kippur, and we see our communities are full and everyone's driveways are full of vehicles, and you get that sense of pride and that family that goes along with it. Or when you're on an airplane and somebody walks in with a kippah, my biggest thing is immediately, or a Magen David, I'm watching that person from my plane, my airplane seat, and I'm going to ensure that nobody has an opportunity to mess with that person. That's my immediate thinking. That's what I do as a Jew. You know, wherever I am, we fought and died right to be able to walk to a synagogue on Shabbat or a high holiday and hold our heads up high. You know, we had to pray in hiding. Now we don't. So we're never going back to that hiding, as far as I'm concerned. It's just not going to happen. And the more they try to instill that on us, the more we're going to push back, and the harder we're going to push back and ensure that collectively as a community, you know, if we're actually united, we can accomplish that. But unity is the first thing we need to do. We need to get all of our people together, because as it stands, we're fragmented. And I get it. I understand it, because a lot of members of the Jewish community don't bother to sit down and really look into things and understand what's going on. Therefore, they feel like what they see on their feed must be true. It has to be fact. And so, you know, Bad Wolf is doing wrong and we can't support that, and we have to wear a keffiyeh and support that. A lot of the people that try and come after me are Jewish groups, you know, hardcore, left-leaning, you know, Jewish groups. And I always tell them the same thing. You know, it doesn't matter, go to their rallies, if you support them, if you help them organize things. It makes zero difference, and they say it proudly. When the day comes, if that day comes, God forbid, you're either going to be one of them by converting, or you're going to pay them and be their slave for the rest of your life. a Jew is a Jew. You were born a Jew. It doesn't matter what you do or what you practice with them or how you help them. You're a Jew to them, and that's all that matters. It did not matter in Nazi Germany. It didn't help the Jews who served the Nazis. It will not help them in this 2025. So they need to wake up and really understand that their community is their only hope. And for a very small community, and I think this is where people, you know, find hatred in us, because there's only 15 million of us around the world. If you ask the average person how many Jews exist in this world, they'll tell you a billion. I've heard some absurd numbers. For a community with 15 million, we sure as heck have accomplished a lot. And I don't say that, you know, facetiously. I simply mean that, you know, we contribute to the world. We want peace. We want to do good. And moreover, we're willing to fight for it. And we're willing to ensure that we keep fighting for it. It doesn't matter what that fight looks like. You can send letters to your local politicians to try to change things up, to try to ensure that people can't protest in front of places with masks on. There's a fight somebody can take up. You know, they can try to cancel a Al-Quds event that happens on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. You know, send letters, get people together, get thousands of people together to send letters.
Sure.
There's something you can take up.
And
so it's as simple as an online post, a letter, training yourself, joining organizations, but most importantly is education.
Education is something very clearly lacking in a lot of these groups, and one of these big groups where education seems to be lacking is JVP, is in these anti-Zionist Jewish organizations. And, you know, we have difference of opinion in the Jewish community, whether it's Reform, Conservative, Ultra-Orthodox, Modern Orthodox, whatever it may be. You know, the old joke of, you know, you have two Jews, you have three opinions. Do you think there's still room for some level of differentiation and difference of opinion within these Jewish communities? Or is it just more we have to be a very specific way so that way we can ensure we don't end up in a place like, you know, the JVP Jews who are Jewish in name only? Or we don't end up in a place like these Naturi Karta Jews, which there are only less than 5,000 of in the entire world?
Yeah, I think the conversation can be nuanced. I think that, you know, there can be various opinions on it, but I think the commonality has to be survival of the race, survival of the community, survival of the nation. And if you don't believe in that basic fact, and I ask the Naturi Karta all the time, because I battle them every Sunday. So I ask them all the time, you don't believe that Israel should exist. You say that, you know, Zionism is an abomination. So, but I don't understand how every single morning you wake up and you say Shema Yisrael, God of Israel, but you don't believe in Israel. And they can't explain that one to me. So at the end of the day, there has to be a common goal. And it's quite simple. Like I said, want to survive in this world, regardless of what you believe in. Want to survive. Then you need to realize that this is a war that we're facing, and whether it's a propaganda war, whether it's, you know, what a political war, whatever it is, it's a war. And if you don't choose the correct side of history, then you can wear 10 keffiyehs. You can protest Israel every day of the week. They are not going to give you a pass. And I liken it to the, you know, to the group Queers for Palestine. You know, and I've said to them for forever, probably a decade and a half, I am happy to pay for all of your flights. Do a fundraiser, I'll get you on planes, I'll fly you business class, and you'll go to the region. And if turn, which you won't, then we can have a conversation about me being wrong. But at the end of the day, you're supporting a cause that wants you dead. And I can't get behind something like that. Mm. So for me,
100%. You know,
being a warrior in our history meant you have to do what's hard. You really have to do what's hard. And you have to say, I'm not going to kneel. And if you're going to chop my head off, go ahead. But I'm not going to bend for you. And I'm not going to bend for anybody. I'm going to support my community. I'm going to protect it with everything I have. And the thousands of people I have around the world will do the exact same thing. And those who want to speak in the Jewish community will be protected like the President of the United States. And that's just the way it's going to be. And nobody's going to say otherwise.
And this really leads us to the question of, you know, would you say anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are, you know, equal? Are they one and the same? Because, you know, within our actual community, there could be a little bit of disagreement, which could lead to conflict surrounding what the term Zionist even means. But outside of that, there's the dichotomy between, you know, do we want to be seen as so tough and so unwavering versus, you know, that's strength, but how do we also be approachable? And so how do all those things kind of play together in your opinion?
You can be approachable, strong, but approachable. And you can be willing to listen and willing to learn and willing to help and you know, willing to hear many sides of the story. There's nothing wrong with that. I will listen to anybody who's peaceful, anybody who doesn't start out the conversation with, you know, Israel doesn't have the right to exist. If you're gonna start the conversation out like that, my ears are closed because I just can't hear the rest of it. I don't have time for it. But translating Zionism, you know, people do what's convenient for their conversation. They water it down so that they can then find support in other groups because they're afraid to support their own. That's my opinion of it. People are terrified of what's happening. So it takes chutzpah to stand up and be strong. And I'm not saying you have to put yourself at risk, God forbid, but you can learn and understand that Zionism is simply, you know, that the Jewish state has a right to exist, the belief that the Jewish state has a right to exist, period. Whether you want to go into the political realm of it and this, it's just ridiculous. It's the basic fundamentals. If you ask an American, does America have the right to exist? A Canadian, a European, anyone in the UK, Britain, do you have the right to exist? Yes, we do. Okay, so what's the difference? I don't understand the difference. And based on that simple principle, you need to support your community. Now, we don't have to 1,000% support the government of Israel. We can disagree with their policies. They're not going to bat 1,000 every single time. But we have to agree with the basic foundation of it. And that's protecting the one and only Jewish homeland. A tiny sliver of land. Now, you know, my question to anybody who opposes it and says that those people have been persecuted by you know, Israel for decades and for this, and I simply say, wait a second. You know, we allow them to come into work. They get work permits, they can come in, and at great risk to our people because most of them hate us and most of them want us dead. You know, and by contrast, you've got Egypt, who has the craziest border walls I've ever seen in my life to ensure that they don't get in. And they're supposed to be their so-called brothers and sisters. So if Egypt is afraid of having them in, you know, we're not. We allow them in every day and we suffer terrorist attacks, you know, intel that is learned about us. It's just, you know, the solution is really simple. If you have a poisonous snake living in your backyard, you have to eventually address the situation and say, I'm not going to wait until he strikes and bites me. Now, I would never advocate for, you know, the eradication of any people. That's not me. I just don't believe in that. Human beings deserve the right, have the right to exist and live in peace. But the question of radicalism really needs to be addressed. And as long as, you know, groups like Hamas are going to indoctrinate and pay, you know, millions and millions of dollars around the world for protests and for propaganda online, we need to get rid of that. That's something that
then
has
we don't
to
want
go.
It to come back to us in Canada, right? Canada, we're here, or America, we're here to leave those problems at the door when we come here. We're Canadians, we're Americans. And, you know, something that you said is that people are feeling very terrified, and it's terrible that that's reality. And so, you know, our question to you is, how do we effectively advocate in the community, online or in person, while prioritizing safety? Because really, that's everyone's main concern is like, oh my gosh, look what's happening. We want to do big things. We want to make a statement, but we're all too scared that it'll lead to physical danger and harm. How do we kind of balance all of this? Especially me as a university student, like I want to scream and shout every day, like, and advocate for Israel, but I don't want to put a target on my back.
I agree. And nobody would ever, ever suggest that you should. But there are ways to do it. And look, you should be cautious online always anyways. You should never be frivolous with your safety. And the worst thing you're going to get is somebody posting a flag or saying something rude about it or whatever. That's what the delete button's for. That's what the block button's for. That's what the report button's for. So I mean, if you want to advocate online, go ahead. If you want to do stuff in person, then ensure that people like me have spoken to you in advance about security, have set up your security so that you can then go and do whatever you want to do on campus without recourse. And we do that every day of the week. I can tell you where every event in Ontario is taking place on any university campus. Because in advance, I know about them. I coordinate with campus security. I coordinate with police. I coordinate with my guys. And we do what's needed to protect our community so that you can have a voice. And like I said, if you come at it in a position of strength, meaning you know what you're talking about, you understand the material, you really understand it, then it's hard to argue with you. And the people who are going to do it look like nuts. You know, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. When somebody says that you're, you know, a colonizer and you prove them wrong, what are they going to say? They're going to turn around and they're going to just keep, you know, like a little kid with their hand over their ears going blah, 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 blah. Actually, that's what happened at Al Quds the other day. The speaker was being destroyed by a speaker on our side. And I mean ruined. Everything he said, our speaker just hammered into. And he literally ended up for 20 minutes on the other side going blah, 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 blah. I swear to God, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Mm-hmm. It was hysterical. So learning, commenting, not being afraid to do it. Don't be foolish. Be safe. Ensure that, you know, I would say this as a security guy to you. You don't post, you know, I'm going to such and such a restaurant tonight. Can't wait to go. Post it after you've gone. You know? Or I'm traveling to, from, like, don't put that connection in there because you never know who's looking at it and who wants to do harm to somebody. We don't know what people's intentions are. I get messages every day from members of the community that get DMs, and you know, some of them are like ridiculously nuts. Some of them I know are for real, and we have to do them with law enforcement. And others are just, you know, some nut out there that just, you know, is overzealous and doesn't even know what he's doing. But know what free speech means. Mm-hmm. Know the laws, you know, that surround free speech, so that you're not crossing lines. And your account's not going to get shut down by one of the big platforms. You know, that's a very important one. You need to know the laws of free speech and what you can post and what you can't post. But you can simply join an organization, you know, whatever the organizations are, on campus or off campus or whatever, and just get involved. Mm-hmm. And every brain that gets involved in an organization is potential future ideas that are going to move this ball forward. In our history, it took very few people to make massive changes. And it wasn't, you know, we didn't need 10 million people to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a talk years ago called The Power of One, and the power that we all possess inside of us. And if you have that hunger for it, which I believe everyone does, it's just a matter of waking it up. And October 7th woke up a lot of people. They looked at it and said, oh my God, you know, this is crazy. And rightfully so. And I mean, it's the worst genocide we've suffered since the Holocaust, and the worst attacks that we've had since the Holocaust. So people need to wake up and understand that this is not like a fluke. This is something this group wants to continually repeat. And we cannot allow that to happen. If we say never again, those aren't just words that sound good. Mm-hmm. You need to practice that. You need to really get into it with your life and make it. I'm not saying forego work and forego your friends and don't go out and have fun. Live your life. But a fraction of your life has to be dedicated to fighting for the Jewish community.
So just one last question before we go. And if you could just summarize it in like sort of one sentence or like one paragraph, what advice would you specifically give to people who are either new to the online game or have been doing it for a while or haven't, you know, had that much success, who want to make sure they protect themselves properly from the DMs, which are serious, from the people who actually are trying to find another location, not just the nut jobs who write to them, you know, Free Palestine or the other usual comments, which I know I get a lot of on a day-to-day basis. I only have 5,000 followers. That's, imagine what somebody with 10,000 or 20,000 is getting. So if in one sentence or one paragraph, like what would the one piece of advice you could give?
Report anything you feel in your stomach is dangerous to the law enforcement communities. They're happy to help. The hate crimes unit are always willing to help. But stand up, be strong, and learn how to defend yourself more than anything. I think that's something that should go with every school curriculum. You need to know basic self-defense. Just as a human being, let alone a Jew in this world of Jewish hatred, you have to defend yourself and be able to defend your friends and family. And it does not take much. Two or three classes teaches you the basics. And it is enough to stop an attacker and use your feet to get out of there. You know, so at the end of the day, I would say be strong. And strong means, you know, being spiritually strong, being emotionally strong, being, you know, physically strong. And like the saying goes, when your body's strong, everything else follows. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. So those that can should. Those that can adopt an online battle and you know, post things and be cautious, be careful, make sure you're doing it in you know, under the local laws that you're in. But do it. Do something. When you see something that's wrong, write a letter to somebody in, you know, some politician and say, hey, this is what I've seen, this is wrong, this needs to be addressed. You know, just do something. Don't sit at home complaining about it and becoming more and more afraid of it. Being afraid of it is not going to help it. And you know, being proactive with it will help it. And it will give you that confidence to move it forward. And mm-hmm. if we move it an inch forward, single time, eventually we'll get to where we need to be. You know, God said to us, we are going to be small in numbers, but we will be mighty. We will be strong. You have to understand that. It's in our lineage. It's in our blood. We are strong as a community.
And that message of strength is so important. And it's something that's going to help us, you know, not being scared and actually be able to not only talk the talk, but actually walk the walk and see better days for our community. And so we really appreciate all the amazing and wise words that you've told us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that said, thank you for listening to DeInfluence, the show that sets the record straight, explores the world of influencers, content creators, and more. Thank you so much, Aaron, for joining the show today. My name is Jonah Hoffman. With me, as always, is Amanda Yakubovitz, and we will see you in the next one.
DeInfluenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jonah Hoffman and Amanda Yakubovitz.